Good evening, church. Hello, hello. My name is Paul, and I'm from the Cirrus congregation. And it's my privilege to share the word of God with you tonight. I just want to start off by saying, what's so funny? Yeah, with a name like that, you always get a response. Yeah. In a few years, though, people won't know anymore, so then I'll be liberated. Praise God. So I just want to really say bless you for making time to come to the house of the Lord. Thank you. You could be 10 different places, but those who draw near to God, you will find yourself that He draws near to you tonight. So Lord, we just come to you. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. Thank you, Lord God, for a house that we can come to, God. Thank you that by your grace, God, you have saved us. Thank you that we're not here tonight, Lord, out of our own abilities, Lord, or timing, God. It's purely your grace, God. And we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you that you call to us, that you draw us, God. Thank you for your love that we experience, for your acceptance that's in this place tonight, Lord. We bless you for it. Thank you, Lord, for your word, God, that is truth. For your word, Lord, that brings light and life. Lord, and tonight we just want to come to you and ask God to do a miracle, God. We pray tonight that you would grant us, Lord, according to your riches in glory, Lord, to be strengthened by might through your Spirit in the inner man. Lord, that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, and that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, Lord, what is the width and the depth and the height, Lord, of the love that there is for us in Christ. Lord, that we would know the love of Christ that passes all knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God. And Lord, we thank you that, Lord, to you, we are able, Lord, to do exceedingly above all that we might ask or think, Lord. Thank you, the Lord, that all glory and honor, dominion and praise belongs to you, God. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you, Father, through the blood of Jesus tonight. Be accepted in your presence and receive from you, Lord, as your sons and your daughters, God, your correction, Lord, your exhortation, your wisdom. We pray, Holy Spirit, for your conviction, Lord, for your revelation tonight, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So who's not hot? Who's not sweating? Yeah, it's crazy. I drove in here this afternoon. It was 40 degrees. And we had me and my wife, Sunil, that's in front, and our children had a wonderful weekend at Arniston. Beautiful weather, at the beach all the time, not suffering like you guys in Stellenbosch over the weekend. So God is good to us. Amen. So what would you guys say would be the single word that would represent Christianity best? Define it best. Sorry, a little bit louder. Love. Faith. Relationship. Christ. Lots of ideas. All kind of almost there. There were a few of you, right? I believe. And that's love. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. So whoever believes in him might be saved. Okay, love. I believe this is a time and a season that God wants to reveal and deepen our understanding of his love for us. You guys have heard a lot about what Fred and Lucille's been preaching on grace, and on getting out of the boxes we have in our minds. Amen. Were you here last week? If you lay down some of the boxes, form some new ones, new colors. Oh, so I believe the Lord is really speaking to us about that. I can just witness with that. And if we grow in understanding of grace, I believe it's central. It's important that we grow in our understanding of the love that God has got for us. Why? Like so many of us have said this now, tonight, that it's about the world out there. It's about Jesus and His agenda. And if we grow in that understanding and revelation of the love that He has for us, then the world will know Him. They will see Him. They will experience Him. Tonight, I'm really, like we pray together, trusting the Lord for a revelation of that. For the switch in your minds to be flicked so that the light can come on. And many of us, all of us here tonight, have got that revelation of God's love, because at some point in your life, God intervened in your life. And when you're sitting here tonight and you couldn't agree with Jesus, lover of my soul, but you had a yearning for that, you will meet Him tonight and experience His grace. And at the moment, the Holy Spirit is drawing you, is convicting you. The Father is drawing you. So all of us can testify of God's love and His grace in our lives. Of moments He's intervened or provided or had His protection over us. But we can grow in that revelation. We're going to look at that tonight. And when I was thinking about these things, praying, I believe that the Lord showed me a specific piece in Scripture, in Ezekiel 6 verses 8. The whole piece of Ezekiel is about somebody that comes to salvation, or in that specific context speaks about Jerusalem, about the Israelites and their relationship with God, and how He intervened in their situation. It starts off where God speaks to them. He relates to them as a baby that was born and was thrown out, unwanted. And the Lord said, "I passed by you, and you were struggling in your blood, and I said to you, 'Live.' Yes, I said to you, 'Live.'" And we've all experienced that in our lives. And then Scripture continues to say, later on, "And when I passed by you again," and that's where I believe in the Spirit we're at the moment. And most of us, all of us, will come to this place a few times in our lives, but I believe that's in that season where we find ourselves, where God is just meeting with us again and say, "Listen, there's something that I want to do in your life." And if we read in Ezekiel 16, you would say that we'll see that God intervenes a second time in that person's life, individual's life. And it says, "I entered into a covenant with you and you became mine." And then the process starts where this individual, this lady representing Jerusalem, is beautified by God, matured. And her fame at the end of the day goes out over all the earth. And I believe that is what God wants to do with us. In your family, in your cell group, in your class, in your relationship with people, the Lord wants us to engage with Him deliberately in that process of being changed, being beautified. He wants to reveal His love and protection and provision in our lives so that we can be a light, so that the world can see that He loves and that He protects and that He provides for. So if we read in Ezekiel 16 verse 8, it says, "When I passed by you again and looked upon you, indeed your time was the time of love. So I spread my wing over you." That means I married you. Ruth found herself in this place with Boaz where he took off his cloak and he put it over her as a sign of, okay, I'll marry you. So the Lord enters into a covenant with us and he says, yes, so I spread my wing over you and covered your nakedness. Yes, I swore an oath to you and entered into a covenant with you and you became mine, says the Lord. So if we say this is that time, that's a time of love, means that it's that time of love for us and for the world. God loves us. He loves every person. Scripture says that it's God's desire for every man to come to salvation and to the full knowledge of who he is. God loves the world. Because he loves the world, we are here tonight. We were at one stage part of the world. And he saved our lives from destruction, like we sang, and crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies. But that's his heart for everyone out there, for every person. He loves the world. And he reveals to us his love through this covenant. This covenant that says, I'll protect, I'll provide. I'll look after you. Okay? He wants us to get out of the box. God's mercy and his grace for us comes from his relationship, his covenant with us. Our love and mercy and compassion for the world, where does that come from? From our revelation of God's love for us. His mercy for us. Okay, so I think I would be right to say that if we grow in that understanding, if we meet God, if we extend our faith and we find him to be loving, if we find him to be faithful in providing, in protecting, our understanding of his love, experience of his love will grow. And we'll have more to share with the world. Okay? Covenant defines God's relationship with us. His love for us is unconditional and constant. He's always faithful. His provision, his protection, his care for us, it's a given. God says, for everyone who believes, you will have something to eat, a roof over your head, and clothes. It's a given. You will be provided for if you're the righteous. God loves us. But then, if we know this love, if we receive this love, God wants us to share it. He wants us to give it away. He wants us to return the same mercy we've received, give it. The same love, the same forgiveness, give it. Share it. Spread it. The world must know that that's the kind of God I am. In Matthew 10, verses 8, Jesus speaks to his disciples and says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Listen, guys, I've called you. You were busy with other things, but I walked into your life. I accepted you, the sinners you were. You were busy doing your fishing or whatever. I called you. I loved you. I poured myself out. I gave everything for you. You know my love. Now, therefore, go and love. Go and love that person that's demon-possessed. Deliver him. Go and look for somebody that's sick. Lay hands on them and pray and heal them. Love them. And many times we end up doing these things. 1 Corinthians 13 is a well-known piece of scripture about love. And Paul addresses the Corinthian church. It's a huge, growing, vibrant church, obedient in what God wants them to do, affecting the community and the culture. Words of wisdom, words of revelation. They had prophecy, tongues, everything you can think about. But Scripture goes on to say, listen, all those things will perish. Only with one will remain, and it's love. So go and love. When you give that word of wisdom, let love be the source. If you go and heal, let love be the source. Go and love. Go and share. Freely you have received, freely give. There's a story about the lady. It's called a sinner, a prostitute that receives Jesus' ministry, comes to salvation. She comes into the house where he's meeting with the disciples and with leaders. She anoints his head. She uses to wash his feet. She uses her hair to dry his feet. She knows what it is to be loved, to be forgiven. Luke 7:47, it reads, therefore I say to you, for her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. That lady knew abundant grace. So she was able to love Jesus, just to love him, to share it on him. All of us, none of us are different than that. We've all received the amazing, abundant grace of God in our lives. We know it. Freely you've received, freely give. Our mercy and our grace for others comes from a revelation about God's mercy, grace, and love for us. Two things that we want to settle to tonight is for us to just have a fresh revelation of God's love for us. And a second is to know, what is the purpose? Why does God love me? Why does he forgive me every time? Why is his mercies new every day? What's the purpose of it? I believe if we grow in that revelation of love, it'll be a source for us, something to dip into. This love is not a romantic kind of love, this love you're talking about tonight. It's not a feeling. This love, the love that Bible talks about probably 8 out of 10 times, is called agape love. It's a practical, active, go out and do love. We will look at the definition of it now. It is in Leviticus 19, verses 18. Bible reads, you shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You shall not take vengeance. You shall not take it into your own hands. You shall not bear grudges. You shall love your people. I am the Lord. I'm God. Almighty God demands this from you. Deuteronomy 5, verses 6. You shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Agape love. Agape love is the deepest form of love. I'm not going to go into every kind of love tonight. But agape love is the love that God loves his son with. Scripture is clear about the extent of God's love for his son. It's agape love. Agape love is a sacrificial love. Sacrificial means it never expects anything in return. So God will demand of you to love the unlovable, to give where you are not going to receive anything back, to be in a relationship where it's always a one-way thing. Might be for a season, who knows. God wants us to know this love, to live it, to share it. Sacrificial love. This love is accommodating. It's patient. See, many times we want things to speed up a little bit, to shift gears. But this love is patient. Jesus died for us over 2,000 years ago. His love for us is patient. We could testify of that in our own lives. Many times we stretch God's grace a little bit in our own lives. We know that. I told this story in the previous meeting as well, but I've got a book at home or in my office, Ever Increasing Faith by Smith Wigglesworth. It was given to me by Fred and this church 2 years before I got saved. I knew them, I was in relationship with him, but I deliberately decided not to lay down my life. I wanted to extend my life of sin. But in that time, they loved me with this patient love. They could see what God was going to do, and they loved me, accepted me. It's amazing to look at that book now and the date and say, Lord, what was I thinking? Your kingdom, one day in your courts, is better than 1,000 outside. Okay, we all know that. But the people that we pray for, the people we're in relationship with, the people that we trust in God for, that relationship might demand patience. The same love, sacrificial love, not expecting anything in return. Agape love is a kind love. And then the highest expression of love, agape love, is forgiving. When we nailed Jesus to the cross, he lied there and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. God, my love for them extends beyond what I'm experiencing now. It is because of foolishness that they're doing this. They don't know what they're doing. Forgiving. God wants us to grow in that revelation of love. What it is. What does it feel like to forgive? Can you remember how I've forgiven you? How I've overlooked? How I've just covered that in my blood? Now I want you to extend that love, that forgiveness. Somebody out there needs a revelation of my love, and they will only find it in your forgiveness. Powerful. Agape love. Romans 5, verses 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I was just speaking after the previous session to somebody that's in a particular hostel, and their cell group are suffering a little bit because the powers that be also confess that they are Christians and that they're following the Lord, but their lives doesn't reflect it. So he was growing a bit anxious. The zeal of the Lord consumes this young man because he just wants to tell them the truth. Can't you see what you're doing? And he asked me, but what's the balance between knowing the truth, expecting the truth, telling it to them? Where's the balance? And the balance is in that we need to know the zeal of the Lord. Scripture says that the kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. So we must have that, but people must never experience us like that. In the spirit, we need to settle things. We need to draw the line and confess and declare God's word. But the people out there are looking for God in us. Patient, forgiving, accommodating, sacrificial. This love is found between God and Jesus. Come to that just now. In Ephesians 5, God commands husbands to love their wives as Christ loves the church and lay down his life for it. That is agape love. In marriage and in relationship, God wants you to lay down your life for the other person. Not doing it standing on your rights. No, sacrificial, laying down your life. He will demand that from us in our relationship with Him. It's the kind of love that we find between parents and their children. We love our children unconditionally. They do not need to perform. They don't need to do things to receive our love. They can just be themselves. We love them. Agape love. We'll do anything for them. We'll sacrifice for them. Because we love them. It's found between neighbor and neighbor. People that might differ from you. People that might be and have a different revelation that you have. It's found between God and man. In John 3:16, we know the scripture. It says that whosoever believes might be saved. Whosoever. God loves the world. The people that deny Him. The people that accuse Him. The people that resist Him. God loves them. And the only way He can get to them is through us. Through us sharing the love, the grace that we've received, we've experienced. Okay, so this love is shared for us, I believe, in the Word to do a number of things. And I just want to name three tonight. We get to know this love because I believe it reveals to us God's attitude towards us, towards the human race, and towards His Son. Okay, so in John 17:25, we see God's attitude to His Son Jesus. And this is a part of a prayer that Jesus prays. He says, "O righteous Father, the world has not known You, but I have known You, and these have known You, that You send Me. And I've declared to them Your name, and I will declare it, that the love with which You loved Me may be in them, and I in them." The love with which You loved Me. Okay, this is the love. The love between God the Father and His Son Jesus. And the amazing piece in that scripture, it says, "I've declared to them Your name, and will declare it." Jesus at this time is declaring that so that we can grow in understanding. He's declaring it to the world so that they might be saved. It's an amazing promise. Jesus says, He prays to the Father and says, "Father, I will keep on declaring it for their sake so that they may know the love with which You've loved Me and they might have that in them." Also reveals God's attitude to the human race, like we said in John 3:16, that the whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And the scripture in Romans 5:8 we read that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. God loves the human race. He loves the world out there. And also His attitude to believers in John 14:21. And this is something that you must hear tonight and actually receive and take home with you. "He who has My commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves Me. And he who loves Me will be loved by My Father, and I will love him and manifest Myself to him." That's to you here tonight. But we can only keep God's commandments by His grace. And when we do that, He says that My Father will love you. And I will love you. And I will manifest Myself to you. That's a beautiful piece in Scripture where the angels are standing outside Abraham's tent. And He recognizes them. And He opens His house for them. And in Revelation, God brings back that piece of scripture and He says, "I'm standing at the door knocking. And when you open up your heart, I will come in and I will feast with you." The Lord Jesus wants to reveal himself to us. He wants to love us. So that is to reveal his attitude to us. And then also to reveal, to show us the will of the Father for us, one amongst another, in our relationships, in our cell groups, in our families. What is God's will for us? John 13:34. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you, that you also love one another. God wants us, our relationships, to be defined by this love. The love that we receive from the Father, he wants us to project that, to share that, to give it. The same mercy, the same grace, he wants us to share. And then also to all men. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you. And may the Lord make you to increase in love to all men. Also told the story in Cyrus, where we are preaching the gospel, loving the people. We're experiencing a little bit of a cold shoulder at the moment. In the spirit, we're picking up dogfights. People are resisting because people from the community are coming to Christ. Their lives are changed. They're getting excited about the Lord, following him. And this is like throwing the apple cart a bit in the community. So now we need to get the balance between preaching the gospel, standing on the truth, and loving the people so that they can accept Christ. Knowing that the concern that they have for their community is actually amazing. We've got a situation there where some of the guys in the community has called a meeting and then also called some of the guys in our church and said, listen, but what is this? Where is this going? Look at what you're doing. Their hearts, I believe, they're loyal. They're loyal towards their families, towards the community. And they're concerned. Why? Just because they haven't met the Lord. They haven't experienced his love for them. So they don't understand what's going on. But now it's our responsibility to share that love, to express that grace and that mercy that we've received from God, to pray God's grace over those relationships so that they're actually maintained, so that we've got an open door to bring in the gospel. So there's relationship that we can base this on. The third point why we meet with this agape love in Scripture, I believe it's to reveal to us God's nature. 1 John 4:8 reads, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. And that is that Scripture is not accusing you tonight. That Scripture is not disqualifying you tonight. It's a challenge for us to grow in our understanding, in our revelation of this love, so that we can understand who God is to a greater extent, so that we can share more of him. So in the first place, we said that we need to grow in our revelation of God. In the second place, we need to understand why this love. What is the purpose of this love? And why do we need to love? What's the purpose of it? What has God got in mind for us growing in this love? The prayer that we pray together, that we might come to know that's what is the height and the depth and the length of this love. Why? What's the deal here? I believe it's in the first place to perfect us. Like that piece of scripture in Ezekiel says, Ezekiel 16:14, Your fame went out among the nations because of your beauty, for it was perfect through my splendor, which I bestowed on you. So yes, God wants to set the standard through you. He wants you to have those aspirations. He wants you to be the CEO. And in the process, he's going to perfect you. So that when he reveals you to the world, your fame will go out. God's name will be glorified. This is all always for his name's sake. Amen? So God is passionate about that. Walking with us, growing us, perfecting us. And we need to know and experience and share this love so that God can perfect us. When it's difficult, when it's seemingly impossible to love that person, and you love it, you love him or you love her, you grow in your revelation of God's love because his grace will be there. Amen? In the second place, it's like I've said, the first place is to perfect us. In the second place, I believe it will serve as a source for us to draw from. Lucille was referring to this partnership that we are in with God to extend his kingdom. It's for me, it's just an amazing privilege of being part of what God is doing. And just to say, yes, Lord, your will be done. Because the Lord has really saved me from the miry clay. And it's just, for me, it's such an honor to be part of what God is doing and to be a tool in his hand. And this love needs to be a source in this relationship, in this partnership that we've got with God in reaching the world. The Father draws. The Holy Spirit convicts. Jesus saves. And we love people. So it's we're kind of in the bottom of the chain, but it's also not like that. Because if we love the people, the unlovable, they will experience God drawing them. If we love people, if we don't react, if we say, okay, I've got that right, but I'm actually going to stand back. I'm going to give without expecting anything in return. The conviction of the Holy Spirit can fall. God can convict if we love. Jesus can save through our loving, our partnership with him. He's the one that saves. But people must grow and come to that place, boldness of coming to him. In Isaiah it says, take the stones out of the way. Go on the, make this path a highway. Clear it of all obstacles that's in the way. The people need to come to the Lord. Go out ahead of them, in front of them. Prepare the way for the Lord. That's our job. People, Jesus will save them. The Holy Spirit will come to them. God draws them. But through our love, it must be easy for them to come to God. Amazing. Martin Luther King Jr. Is quoted by saying, whom you would change, you must first love. I think we get it wrong a few times. I've gotten it wrong many a time. Why? Because the zeal of the Lord is in our hearts. We know if you just decide for the Lord, how things would change. If you would just humble yourself, if you would just repent, if you would just give, I know the outcome. But many times people don't experience the love mixed with that. And it's an obstacle to them. We must first love, and our love, our loving will lead to change. How do I love? What is the source? Where is this well, the source that we drink from? Where do we get this love? We all know it's Jesus. He is the source. In Isaiah 53, God reveals in that chapter to us the love that we have, that He has got for us. It also reveals Jesus' love for us through the things that He suffered. I would want you to go and just read Isaiah 53, the prophecy about Jesus' suffering and His death. That we know that we get to grips with the extent that God went to win us back. I just want to read a few scriptures. Isaiah 53 verses 4. Surely He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and by His stripes we are healed. Amen. Who's healing? Who can receive their healing through your suffering? But Lord, we've been praying for this hostel. I've been praying for my husband for 7 years now, and nothing. It feels like stripes. And 2 years later, when you are busy working in Pretoria, the whole hostel comes to salvation. Amen. And you had a part to play in it. I always say, we don't know what God does with our sacrifices. We know that our prayers are kept up in heaven in bowls. And at the right time, the given time, God tells an angel to just push over the bowl. Let the prayers fall on them. Let salvation break free. Many times we're in relationships in situations where we suffer, where we sacrifice. In God's hand, that is a miracle waiting to happen. If it's given to Him. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. Listen to this, verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. It pleased God the Father to bruise Jesus. He has put Him to grief. Why? Because of His love for us. He had to get away to get to us. And His Son was that way. And His Son's obedience to the Father paved the way for us. He is the source, Jesus. When you're in that situation, it's impossible to love, know that Jesus faced the impossible for us. It was done 2,000 years ago. The provision for that situation is there for you if we look to Him. He has paved the way. Jesus is our source. Hebrews 12 verses 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. In your obedience, in your relationship to God, you will come into situations where people will perceive that there's shame. Jesus despised the shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Listen to this. For consider Him, Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself. Who has ever experienced hostilities from unbelievers? Next time you do, just remember the scripture. Hebrews 12:3. For consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Amen. Jesus was there. He took it. He's been through it so that I can go through it. If He can do it, I can, because He's at my right hand. He's above, in front, behind, beneath me. Scripture says that the Lord surrounds His people with favor like a shield. There's favor on your life to go through that situation. Amen? Why this love? So that the world can see Jesus and live. Again, Ezekiel 16:14, your fame went out among the nations because of your beauty. God wants to beautify you. He wants you to experience, he wants you to be perfected so that your fame can go out. People will know, listen, we must acknowledge when we ask that family to pray, things happen. Let's go to them. When I'm in dire straits, I know I can go there. And I know their hearts have always been open to me. So it's not difficult for me to come. John 3:34-35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you, and that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. John 17:22. And the glory which you give me, I've given them. This is Jesus prayed to the Father. That they may be one just as we are one. I in them and you in me. That they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that you have sent me. And have loved them as you loved me. Amazing. So that the world can see. If you are display that love. The world will know that God the Father has sent Jesus. And that he loves them the way that he loves you. Amazing. Thank you, Nicola. I'm done. Conclusion. For me, just amazing scripture always to carry with me is this two scriptures in John 17:26. I've shared it earlier. That Jesus is to this day, at this moment, praying for you, for me. He's declaring the will of the Father for your sake, for my sake, for this world's sake, so that they, so whatever, whoever might call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Jesus at this time is declaring the Father's love so that we can grow in that. And then in Jude 1:24-25, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless. Remember, we said this is a process of perfection, being perfected. Now, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion forever and ever. Amen. I want you to stand with me tonight. And just, we're going to pray a prayer together. James, if you guys can also just come up. I'm going to pray this prayer in Ephesians. There's a few scriptures in Ephesians where Paul actually prays for the Ephesian church. It's a church like ours. Established church, growing church, knowing the will and of God, following him. And he says, Father, they are reaching the community, but I know that the floodgates can open. For that to happen, his people, you guys, must grow in you the revelation of what the love of the Father is towards you, so that the world can see it. So if you just want to stand with me, I'm going to pray this prayer over you again. And then after that, we're going to sing the song and worship to God together. And while we sing, I want to just give an invitation for anyone here tonight who has not received or known that acceptance and unconditional love of God. You've not come to him just like you are, and received him. Receive that unconditional forgiveness and love. Tonight is your night of receiving and growing in your understanding of who God is. God loves you. Scripture said that. We read it together. And we love you. Tonight we want to extend an invitation to you. If your life is still in your own hands, there's an opportunity to you tonight, for you to come and ask God to step into your life and to reveal His love and will for your life. And like that woman, you will be surprised. God will fill you with joy and with peace and with love. There will be an opportunity for you to come to the Lord tonight. And then for all of us, if there's things, if there's walls keeping you from receiving the love of God, experiencing His love, or on the other hand, sharing it, giving it away freely, that we need to pray with you tonight. God wants to reveal Himself to us tonight. I believe in the Spirit, the Lord has switched on the light tonight. I believe that we've all grown in our revelation of love. But it's not like that's all that needs to happen. The Lord will this week and in the weeks and days to come, will bring opportunities along your way where you can share that love and see Him move. Give, forgive, be patient. Be kind. Let's pray together. Father, we come to You tonight, Lord. And like we sang earlier, Lord, it's all about You. Lord, and we come to surrender tonight our preconceived ideas, God, about who You are and how You love. And we thank You for Your word that is clear, God. God, that You love us. That You love the world, Lord. And that You want to reveal Yourself to them, Lord, to the world through us. Thank You, God, that You've chosen us, God. Thank You that You've chosen each one of us here tonight, Lord. Chosen, God, from families, from friend group of friends, Lord. Joshua's, Lord. Deborah's, Ruth's. Called them, Lord, to follow, Lord, to You, so that people can follow, Lord. Lord, and tonight we bring our hearts to You and we pray, Lord, that You operate, God, that You remove, that You make place, that You enlarge in Jesus' name, God. God, that we will go out tonight, Lord, and what we've received in the Spirit will manifest in our heart, in our lives. God, we pray that tonight that You would grant us according to Your riches, Lord, of glory, to be strengthened with might through Your Spirit in the inner man. God, where we need Your strength, Lord, Your might, Lord, to stand in situations, Lord. To be truthful, Lord, in relationships, Lord. Lord, we pray that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith, that we being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints, Lord, what it's the height and the depth, Lord, the length, Lord, of Your love that there's for us in Christ Jesus, Lord. To know that love, God, that surpasses all understanding. God, tonight we are honest and say, Lord, we don't understand this love, God. But Lord, if You pour it into us, God, we can pull the plug and it can flow, God. It can impact, it can change, Lord. It can bring deliverance and healing, Lord. It can bring forth salvation, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that we can look to You, Jesus, tonight. You are the author and the finisher of faith, Lord. And You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or ask, God. Thank You, Lord, that there's not one marriage represented here, God. Not one relationship, Lord. Not one family, Lord. Not one friendship, Jesus. Not one hostel, God. Not one school, God. That You cannot impact, God. That Your love is not enough for, Father, God. Lord, so tonight I pray for ability, Lord. For that might, God, to stand. For people to be able to forgive, God. To sacrifice. To be patient and kind. To be accommodating, God. In Jesus' name, we say, Lord, it's all about You, so that Your name can be glorified, Lord. in Jesus' name. Let's just worship together.